My name is Greta, and I'm a compulsive overeater. My story starts at childhood when I was raped at the age of 4, and I became a compulsive overeater. And by the age of 6, I was overweight. I became terrified of men. So I protected myself by having a barrier that I thought men would not find me attractive. I would literally eat gallons of the sweet stuff, loaves of the white stuff, pounds of the salty fat stuff, junk food, and I would zone out and numb myself into oblivion. I isolated myself. Food was my god. I ate over my feelings. I would not allow myself to feel fear, anger, sadness, and pain, and I thought that food would make me feel happy. At best, I was happy for about a minute. I lived in a very dysfunctional home. My brother was violent, and he physically and verbally abused my mom and brother, and he abused me verbally. It was like walking on eggshells around him. In grammar school, I was bullied mercilessly by a girl who lived in my apartment building. I dreaded the verbal abuse, and each and every day I cried uncontrollably. Food was the answer to my problems, I thought. Academically, I was a very good student, despite the fact that everything at home was falling apart. My father was a professional chef, and my mom is an excellent cook. As my appetite grew, so did my body. My father was always on my case about my weight. He would not allow me to eat desserts, and he couldn't understand how I could eat if I was full. My dad was clueless about the volatile environment in the apartment. He worked nights in a nightclub he owned in the city. So by the time he came home to Queens, he wasn't aware of the brutality that was going on at home. And the rest of us were terrified of my brother, so we suffered in silence. Every time I got angry, my mother would shove a plate of delicious food in my face. So I never learned how to assert myself and actually get angry. I would, quote, reward myself with my alcoholic foods. As the big book says that the alcoholic has an allergy to alcohol, so they crave it. I have an allergy to my trigger foods, which causes mental and physical obsession. And you can't eat it in moderation. I suggest going to a nutritionist to help you determine what these problematic foods are. For me, I learned that any sugar, even sugar-free products, any flour, junk foods, and certain foods that can be healthy, but I would eat in huge amounts, had to be removed from my food plan. I have an allergy to these foods, so I stay away from them because it's a life and death situation. While the alcoholic dies quicker, the compulsive overeater dies a slow, painful death. At my highest weight, which was 225 pounds, and I'm only 5 feet tall. The doctor said I'm a candidate for cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. This is a progressive disease. I want to read from the Four Today on July 21st, page 203. Extreme remedies are very appropriate for extreme diseases. Hippocrates. Go to meetings. Read the big book. Get a sponsor. Go to any lengths. All that? When will I have time for my life? Make time. Compulsive overeating is a killing disease. But I'm not that bad. No, not yet. But this illness is progressive. It gets worse, never better. Abstinence is a new life, not in theory, but in practice. It means following suggestions, listening to someone who knows more than I do about living abstinently. It means reading. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. If I want abstinence and a better life, I've come to the right place. For today, I've taken the first step. God help me to stay on this new path toward physical, mental, and spiritual recovery. Humility is a very important part of this program. Even though I've been in program for almost 22 years, I'm in the same boat as someone who is a newcomer. We're all just one bite away. If you are a compulsive overeater, you're in the right place. This is the easier, softer way. This is a lifestyle change. It's not a diet club. You don't graduate. I can't stress enough how important it is to stay in the program, whether you're binging your brains out or you're doing well. I don't eat look-alike products, like, for example, a sugar-free version of a product. I just don't have eat it. In 1999, before I came into OA, I lost 100 pounds by sheer willpower, but I gained it all back and then some by eating a tiny piece of a trigger food. I was cocky and arrogant. I thought I could eat this food without impunity. In 2002, I went to a fancy schmancy facility in Florida. It was a diet club. There was no recovery. I lost a few pounds and gained everything back. Are you willing to go to any lengths to get what is promised in the OA? The peace and serenity, freedom from obsession. I don't miss my alcoholic foods, and I wouldn't trade it for a slice of this or a sliver of that. I advocate for myself when I go to functions like restaurants and barbecues. I find out in advance what the menu is, and no one can force you to eat unhealthy. You have a choice. It's interesting. Deli meat has sugar in it. Tomato sauce has sugar in it. Bread has sugar in it. If you were to tell me that I would be abstaining from compulsive overeating by letting go of sugar and flour, I would never believe it. But ask yourself this, is your health worth it? There's in the AA book, they talk about this man who was sober for 25 years, and then he decided, you know what, I deserve a reward. He died of alcohol poisoning 4 years later. Like I said, with the humility, we're all on the same boat. No one is better than, no one is less than. No matter how many years you're in program, we're just one compulsive bite away. I act as if I'm a bitter happy pessimist. I used to be a bitter pessimist, and now I'm a happy optimist. At the height of my disease, I stole food from family, friends, strangers, I would eat food out of the garbage can. I would go to the buffet table so many times. People at the table said, "Enough." It took me 5 years to do step four. Thank you. I was able to release over 100 pounds and I've kept it off for 16 years. Despite the death of my father and recently the death of my beloved cat. Progress, not perfection. Only the higher power, whatever your power is of your choosing, is fine. Every day I pray for the willingness to go to any lengths for my abstinence. In 1976, I asked my uncle to please pay $3,000 for me to go to Weight Watchers camp. I lost 15 pounds and I gained it back immediately after my relative made a special ultra sweet jam for me. I also went as a counselor to weight reduction camp so I could lose weight. But each and every one of our us counselors would pig out at the Italian restaurant at night. I say stay in this program till the miracle happens. I've been in program since August of 1999 with the same sponsor, and it took me over 2 decades to become abstinent. And when I say abstinent, I mean to abstain from compulsively overeating. So from January 12th of this year, I've been abstinent. I have not binged or anything like that. Some people white knuckle it. They're a slave to the scale. They don't have the spiritual aspect of the program, which is the most important part. The spiritual part is the most important part. Some people are I don't know if I said this already, white knuckling it, they're a slave to the scale. I find that when I'm abstinent, I don't have to weigh myself. It takes care of itself. Back in 2003, my doctor suggested that I do gastric bypass. And I thank God I didn't do it because the fat is in my head. And making my stomach smaller does not reduce my cravings. And I know people who have had that surgery and they have gained the weight back. It's the higher power's will, not the self will. In closing, you need to work this program as though your life depends upon it, because ultimately this is a deadly disease. Go to meetings, get a sponsor, do the tools of the program, read the steps and get the big book. Keep coming back. Go to at least 6 meetings. I just want to read from July 23rd of Voices of Recovery. For many of us, this freedom came when we took step three and turned the entire problem over to our higher power. This is from 12 and 12. The 12th step of OA talks about the qualities we gain as a result of working the 12 steps. But the word freedom appears so many times in all of our literature, I began to think about the freedoms from my disease I gained by working each of the steps of OA. One, freedom from the obsession with food. Two, freedom from insanity and hopelessness. 3, freedom from the bondage of self. 4, freedom from dishonesty. 5, freedom from isolation. 6, freedom from running the show. 7, freedom from self-reliance. 8, freedom from blame. 9, freedom from fear of people. 10, freedom from complacency. 11, freedom from loneliness. And 12, freedom from lack of purpose. Like I said, a couple of months ago, my cat passed away. I had her for 18 years, and I didn't think that I could handle the death of my cat, but I was able to, and I didn't eat over it. And God blessed me with this wonderful cat for 18 years. And, this is a miraculous program. It is a awesome program. And, I just encourage you to do this program to the best of your ability. Thank you for letting me share. I don't know how much time I have, but thank you for letting me share.
And Greta, would you like to share your photo?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so I think Judy has it.
Okay. I do.
Okay.
This is me at 225 pounds. I'm smiling, but I'm very unhappy. Very, very unhappy. And I was ridiculed when I would go to a store. Men would be around and they would be laughing. I was dying a slow, painful death. And like I said, I would be eating out of the garbage can. I would be stealing people's foods left and right. I had no boundaries around food. This is a cunning, baffling, powerful disease. We need to admit that we're powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. Thank you for letting me share. And thank you, Janet, for asking me to share. And I hope everybody got something from this share. I can't tell you how important it is to be in this program. Stay. It's a lifesaver. Thank you for letting me share.